We started this series, Top Gear, and we're talking about running in Top Gear in the area of character of our life. If you weren't here, I'd really encourage you go to our website, go to iTunes, check out our podcast, but kind of get caught up with us because we're going to build on this topic each week. Last week, I gave you a definition of character, and we said character is the commitment to do what is right. And for us as Christians, as God defines right, regardless of the cost. We said last week that we're a little bit selective when it comes to character. I think most people are for character. I mean, we want everyone that we live with, that we work with, that we do business with, we want them to perform with top gear when it comes to character. But we kind of excuse ourselves when our character's kind of lacking. In other words, I am a lot more bothered by your slippage of character than my own slippage of character. And then we said it gets really complicated because we live in this world that values a thing called achievement and fulfillment. And so when we end up at the crossroads in life where we are faced with this choice of whether we maintain our character or we achieve something, the temptation, I think the tendency in our society is to choose achievement or advancement over character. We said last week that as Christians, there has to come a point in our lives where we shift gears, where we say, you know what, character will be the top gear in my life. Now, we are created to achieve. We are created to have fulfillment in life. But we are never, as Christians, to sacrifice our character. Character, I believe, is about making really tough choices in life. And so when achievement, advancement, comes in conflict with character, the question is, what are you going to do? I mean, will you be that unique individual that opts to maintain your integrity, your character? Or will we go the way of culture and shift gears and opt for achievement and fulfillment at the expense of character? Now, today what I want to do, I want to talk about how God sees character and how God goes about developing character in our lives. And I'm going to tell you up front, I'm going to challenge some of the conventional wisdom on this about how to pursue character, godly character, and how we pursue it. When I was a teenager, especially a young adult, I loved cars. It was kind of my Achilles heel. I had a 67 Camaro, had a 76 Corvette, but my real love was a Datsun 1970 240Z Series 1. It was gorgeous. People are going, Datsun, the young ones. It's Nissan today. But, I mean, I loved that car. And I restored the entire car. Now, I was a typical teenager. And so you know what you start with, right? The most important thing in any car is the stereo, right? I put in equalizer, booster underneath the seat, had its own power supply, clip speakers in the back that were way too big for this little car, 200 watts of pure heaven. I mean, I was jamming. The neighbors loved it. Not so much. But I remember after I got it installed, I had that hatch open. I kept getting everything set up. And then I wanted to take it for the inaugural moment. So I took it out, the highway, I'm cruising. I'm cranking Renegade by Styx. Any Styx fans? You know how that song, it's got that part where the bass really jumps in. And so I'm driving down 55. And the hatchback, the glass in the back, blew it out of the gasket. And I look and I see the glass go, whoosh, and that one cost me big time. I spent a lot of money on that car, restoring it one piece at a time. And I will tell you, it cost me a lot of dimes to get this car where I wanted it. Had a buddy, he specialized in car restoration, and he was considered one of the best in town. So I would take my car to him every now and then, and I'd have him do stuff. And it went really well working with him when we were doing like structural things, putting in a new floorboard, changing the rear end in the car, making some modifications to the engine. That stuff went pretty simple. But then we started doing I call it the fun stuff, the cosmetic stuff, the stuff that's like open to interpretation. I had him strip the entire car. He took it apart, stripped it down to the metal. And I told him, I said, I want it candy apple red and a mother pearl coat on top. He said, yeah, I can do that. He said, I think I'll shoot a quarter panel. I'll give you a call. You can come look at it. So he gave me a call, cruised by, took a look, and it was a little too orange for me. And anybody that knows me, I'm a little eccentric. No, a little dark, no, a little lighter, a little dark, a little lighter. And we finally got the mix just right, and he ran a splotch, and I said, that's it. I want the whole car to look like that. We talked about some of the tattooing and some of the pinstriping I wanted on the hood and on the back quarters and the spoilers and stuff. And he's like, well, can you draw that out? And I was kind of hashing some stuff out. And I said, you know what, let me find a picture. I'll bring it by. So I brought him a picture of what I wanted the tattooing to look like on the car. I said, I want it like that. We changed the front and rear spoiler. I brought him a picture. I said, I want it like that. We restored the entire car doing that. I'd bring him pictures, bring him little clippings of stuff, and I'd go, I want it like that. And so we got the whole car. We did it that way. And then we're just kind of pushing through, and it was the pictures. They were more than pictures for him. You know, he'd look at the pictures, and it took all the guesswork out of it for us. It got us on the same page together. It had us operating pretty well, because I'd go, I want it like that. Now, here's the good news when it comes to character. I believe God has given us a picture of what character's to be like. You know, God's given us a person named Jesus Christ, living, breathing, you know, 6 foot, whatever, a relationship-oriented model of character, and I believe it's really more than a picture. You know, in the Old Testament, they would talk about character, and during those times, they would take and they would point you toward Moses' laws. They'd look at the stone tablets. They'd say, here's what character looks like. Thou shalt not, thou shalt do. And we were to figure out what character was. It was kind of a two-dimensional explanation. And so what you had, you got men and women during that time. They're reading scripture. And they're trying to act out what they're reading. They're trying to obey what they're reading. And they're trying to become what I believe God wanted them to be. But you get to the New Testament and you've got this shift. And I think because God saw that men and women would struggle with what character looked like in that two-dimensional world, God says, you know what, I'm going to give you a clear picture. I'm going to give you a full color picture, living three-dimensional person of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's what Paul was talking about in the book of Romans. He says, we know this because God knew them in advance. He's talking about Christians here, Christ followers. And he decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of his son. That way his son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. He'd lay the groundwork for us. See, God has this wonderful plan for our lives. And it is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not to look like Jesus. We're not to dress like Jesus. It's not an external thing, but it's an internal thing. And in other words, God determined in advance, he decided ahead of time, that we were going to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you were to go to God and say, God, what does character look like? God wouldn't give you a list. God wouldn't give you some two-dimensional specs. God would point to the image of his son. And he would say, I want it like that. I want you to look like him. I want you to act like Jesus. I want you to love like him. I want you to exercise self-control like him. I want you to be kind and patient and gentle like him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in the garage and I hear that. I'm going to walk out of the garage and go, I can't do that. I mean, I can't do that. God, I thought what you wanted, when you said character, I thought what you meant was like a better version of me. I thought you were just talking about some like incremental changes, some small things. But God, if you're talking about me and my character matching the character of Jesus, well, I surrender. I mean, that is so beyond me. It would be a little bit like me trying to restore my own car. You notice I took it to someone. I go, I want it like this, because I don't have a clue how to restore a car. I don't have the skill set. I mean, you could put me in the garage. You could give me all the tools. You could give me all the parts. And you go, Damon, I want you to restore that car. I wouldn't know what to do. You'd say, but you know what? Just take your time. Do it one piece at a time. You can do this. And friends, time has nothing to do with it. Incompetence would be the problem. I could change the oil, maybe. That was a bad experience, the first time I ever did that, and the only time. But I might be able to do that. I can change the tires, maybe change a filter or two, maybe. Beyond that, beyond my skill set. So don't call me if your car breaks down, all right? But I just don't have that in me. Give me the tools. Give me all the parts. Still not going to happen. Commitment wouldn't be the problem either, because I could be committed. I mean, I could be committed to fixing the car and restoring it and rebuilding it, but I don't know how to do it. See, time and commitment would not solve the problem. And here's what I think. This is what happens when it comes to character in our lives. I believe most of us, if we were to just talk, most of us here want to be men and women of character. We want to be patient. We want to be loving. We want to be kind and gentle. We want to have self-control in our lives. We want to be honest. We want those things. And we look at that list of things, and we're tempted to think, you know what? I can become a man of character. I can become a woman of character if I'm supposed to be a better version of me. Give me enough time. Give me enough commitment, and I can improve me. But if the model is Jesus Christ, that's a little bit beyond me. And here's what I think happens for most of us. We believe that we can't become that image of Jesus. And so many people just don't try. And so we approach life and we go, yeah, okay, so I'm a hothead. You know, I'm dismissive. I've got this problem or that problem. Deal with it. It's who I am. And we give ourselves a pass on this. It is something that we absolutely do not accept from anyone else, but we give ourselves a pass. How many parents we got here? All right, how many of you got teenagers? All right, tell me if this will fly in your house. Your son or daughter goes, Mom, Dad, I just can't help it. I slam doors. I just storm. I say stuff I shouldn't. I get hateful. It's who I am. We don't accept that from our kids, right? We don't let them slide. And what I want to say is, God doesn't accept that from us either. God isn't going to tolerate it. See, not only has God given us this image that he says we're to conform to, but I believe God has given us the tools. And this is the key component piece. This is the piece to conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And what I want to do, I want us to just put the car in neutral for a moment. And this is where I'm going to depart from what I believe is conventional wisdom, what I was taught growing up in the church. Because I believe that the typical Christian approach, and let's take a topic like honesty, all right? So we're going to talk about honesty. And the typical approach would be for me to get up here and talk to you about honesty and say, you know what? God loves honesty. God hates dishonesty. And we might take a look at someone's life, like in the Bible. Let's take the Old Testament, the life of Joseph and his rise from being a slave to second in charge and with Pharaoh. But we would talk about his life, and then we'd get toward the end somewhere, and we'd go, we all need to be honest people. And so what would happen? Some of us would go out of here kind of hyped up. Yeah, I'm going to be more honest. I'm going to be a more honest person. And here's the problem. We're all hyped up. We leave. But the problem is, it doesn't work. The hype doesn't get you there. I mean, at least not for very long. And part of the reason I believe that is because of the way we go about it. It's our approach. It really is an approach to be a better me. I'm going to improve me. Kind of self-improvement thing. God's approach to character isn't for me to be a better me. It's for me to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. We have to think different. We need a new approach when it comes to character. The character of Jesus is not something that you can manufacture. It is something, I believe, that is produced through you. In other words, you can't go, you know what? I'm going to get out there. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to be more committed. I can't manufacture it. It's produced through us. It's produced through us. You can't manufacture it. I mean, you can manufacture a better you. For a little while, maybe for a long while. But you cannot manufacture the character of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it's got to come from him. It's got to come from him. And this is where things change. This was life-changing for me. When I finally realized that I had to do it differently. In other words, I don't know about you, but I got tired of failing all the time. I got tired of making mistakes. Sure, I was making some small changes. I was a better version of me. But I was nowhere close to what God called me to be. You know, Jesus said in John 15, and I'm going to work this passage backwards, but it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. What are we supposed to do if we want to become men and women of character? We're supposed to abide, Scripture says. Abide. That's a different approach. Jesus says, you're the branches. I'm the vine. The life flows into the branches. The branches then produce fruit because it draws strength from the vine. See, it's abiding. Jesus says, here's the deal. I don't want you to manufacture character. I don't want you to manufacture fruit in your life. And fruit in this passage is character. You know, the Apostle Paul later would talk about fruits of the Spirit, you know, things like love and joy and patience and peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control. This passage is broader than that. It certainly encompasses the fruits of the Spirit, but it's much broader. It's about character. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. And if you learn to abide in me, here's what happens. As you are focusing, and here's the key part, as you're focusing not on becoming, but focusing on abiding, as you abide, as you're in that relationship with Jesus Christ, you find fruit. You produce fruit. You go, I didn't know I could do that. Jesus says, I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes care of the vineyard. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. I was studying that passage, and the Greek word that's used there where it says removes, it's a dual word. It also means lift up. This translation, I think, is pushing both removes and lifts up. You know, it's that idea that God is taking care of the vineyard. He's lifting up branches. You know, you lift them up, you tie them up so they get more sun. Why? So they'll produce fruit. He's trimming and cutting. Why? So they'll produce fruit. And so what I believe Jesus is teaching here is that God is committed to producing fruit in Christ followers. God is so committed to it. If you don't have any fruit, what he's going to do, he's going to reposition you in life so that maybe you'll listen. He's going to do some cutting. He's going to do some pruning. Why? So there'll be more fruit. And what I get, just bottom line, God wants us to produce fruit in our life. Jesus goes on in verse 4, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So that word abide just keeps coming out. See, that is different than the traditional way of dealing with character. I can only bear fruit if I'm really committed. If I really work hard, then I'm going to produce fruit. If I want to be like Jesus, I need Jesus in my life. It is the only way that we're going to do that is to abide. Abide's a common word in Scripture, used hundreds of times in Scripture. And it really, it's not like a supernatural word. It's not mysterious. It's not a technical word. It simply means remain, stay, move in, live with. The word's used kind of in a relational context over and over and over. Jesus is saying, do not think in terms of imitating me. Think in terms of staying close to me. If you stay close to me long enough, the result is you'll produce fruit. You will change. Things will happen. Not because you're trying to change, but because you're trying to stay close. That is way different. That is life-changing. I mean, all of us, if we were honest, we all know what kind of character we can produce on our own, don't we? And the fact is, we have strengths and we have weaknesses. We play to our strengths, and we hope nobody finds out our weaknesses, right? We gather, we worship, We sing songs. We pray. Sometimes we're very passionate about it. We read our scriptures, most of the time with a lot of sincerity. But the fact is, we still have holes when it comes to character. I think many of you have tried to change in your life. Some of you have tried really hard. You know, you go to God often and say, God, help me. You know, I'll try harder. I'll be more committed. I'll go at it again. I won't do that again. And you know what's interesting? We can't close the gap. And what Jesus is saying in the scripture is, I'll close the gap. I will teach you. I will show you. You know, in other words, you have got to get a handle on this somehow and realize that I'll do it through you. So just focus on staying close to me. Does that sound different than what we're taught? I was watching ESPN a while back, and they were featuring a piece about NASCAR. And they were talking about the unique relationship between the driver and the crew chief. And the fact is that they need a really good relationship, both during race time and even when they're off the racetrack. That they need a good relationship, that it was key to winning. They were interviewing these guys, and over, they just said, that relationship's key to winning. That constant communication with the crew chief was vital. It was imperative. The driver talked about that the crew chief kind of kept them informed about track conditions, issues, problems that they could see that the driver couldn't. They talked about some of the car limitations. They go, remember this. This might be a problem. Here's where your fuel's at. Hey, here's pit concern. And drivers said over and over, I have to rely on my crew chief. They guide me. They give me the information so that I can successfully execute whatever was necessary on the track. And here's what I want to suggest to you today. That you allow Jesus Christ to be that crew chief in your life. Which means that you have to make some changes. One of them is you have to start thinking and acting relationally, not religiously. Simply believing in God, going to church, won't really change you. I mean, it'll help you, but it won't really change you. Only a relationship, an abiding relationship with God and Jesus Christ will truly change you. See, religion, God's way out there somewhere, and I'm way down here somewhere. You know, religion, it's following a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not. You know, we beat ourselves up a lot with rules. Religion produces a lot of failure, a lot of guilt. And I'll just be blunt, religion, you always come up short. Relationship changes everything. Staying close to God, staying in tune with Jesus Christ and listening to what he has to say through his word, just through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, changes everything. Now, I think I've got a pretty good handle on kind of the demographic of this church. Many of you come from religious backgrounds where faith and religion are very formal. Now, this is my opinion, okay? Don't write this down. I don't have a verse to back it up. I don't think God is into formalities. And here's why. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world to die for us, to free us, so that he could close that gap, this giant gap that was between us. He just said, I want to close that. I want to make it a relational situation. I want it to be relational. Keep it relational, not religious. relation. It's about vine and branch. It's about drawing life and character from our relationship. Here's the second thing. I think you have to change your focus. Focus on association, not imitation. In other words, we have to get away from this idea, I'm going to act like Jesus. Jesus is the model. Here's what Scripture says, so I'm just going to act it out. I'll do what he does. I'll do what Scripture says. Friends, that's okay. But the reality is, you can't and I can't really imitate Jesus. See, it's not I'm the branch and I'm trying to imitate the vine. It's association. Relationship has to be the focus. Or you die. You die on the vine. See, I believe at some point, here's the change. You have to adopt an attitude in your life that says, I can't, but Jesus Christ can through me. I can't be patient with her one more day, but Jesus can through me. I can't face that problem, but Jesus Christ can through me. I can't deal with the pressure anymore, but you can through me, God. Can't deal with the temptation at the office, but you can, God, through me. You know, I can't resist the lure of the internet, but you can through me. I can't turn my back on that deal, on that money, but you can through me. Friends, you can with him, but I can't by myself. And when you adopt that attitude, friends, it changes your heart. And what happens is it changes everything. It changes you. I believe that one of the greatest things we can do in our lives is wave that white flag in our life and just say, God, I can't. I can't do whatever. But you can. You can through me. You know, I believe God would whisper to some of us today, if you'll just relate to me, if you'll learn to abide with me, I will see you through whatever it is that you're facing that you don't think you can handle, that thing that you think you're going to fall on your face again. But just abiding. Relationship. I want to give you something to try this week. I believe it's real practical, but I believe that it changes how you live, that you'll notice a big difference if you just do it. When you get up in the morning, you're getting ready for work, you know, some of you get up, you read your Bible, keep doing that, but I want you to add a little piece. For those that aren't doing anything, just get up a little bit earlier, and I want you to think through your day. Because I believe that most of us could anticipate probably 90% of our troubles, our temptations, and our struggles. And so you know, right out of the gate, when you get up in the morning, you know that so-and-so is going to walk by your desk at work, and you're going to struggle to give them a piece of your mind, and it's that way every week, every day. You know that, right? Some of you know that your spouse will be home late from work again. And it is going to start a battle, and it gets pretty heated just about two or three times a week. You know that. Some of you know that you're going to go home, and you're going to deal with loneliness in your life. Some of you are going to be tempted by the internet. Some of you are going to have an opportunity for another underhanded deal in your life. You know this stuff. You see it. You see it coming because you've been through it. You can see the potential battles. You can see the pitfalls, the temptations, the struggle. You can see it, right? Am I the only one? Here's what I want you to do with that. Get up a little bit earlier and just have a prayer. Make it part of your devotional time and just say, Lord, here's what I know is going to happen today. Because I go through this every Monday. I can't deal with it, but you can through me. I can't deal with so-and-so. They infuriate me. They make me say things I know I shouldn't. I can't control my tongue when I'm around them. But God, I know you can through me. God, I don't have the strength to say no, but you can through me. God, here is the pitfall. Here is the struggle. Here is the loneliness. Here's the depression, the emotion, the anger, the frustration, the temptation. God, I can't. But you can through me. And friends, what I believe happens because you're beginning to do what you know in terms of abiding, keeping this relationship wide open, listening, as you do that, God will take that itty little bit of effort, little bit of faith, no matter how much you know scripturally, and God will take that and he'll honor that. I can't. But God, you can through me. And friends, that's incredible stuff. That was life-changing reality for me at a point in my life. I realized I didn't have to fail all the time. But I was chasing it the wrong way. I would challenge you with this. I mean, if you take that step, what you find is, yeah, you'll fail sometimes. But every once in a while, you go, oh, fruit, I did it. And friends, I can't even tell you how much I want that for you. How much you need that in your life. The model's Jesus, conforming to his image. But the method, it's abiding. I'm going to invite Van to come up, and so I'm closing here. And friends, this character thing, it's complicated, and we're going to kind of build on it over the next few weeks. And I just know that you got to make this shift. Some of you are trying to do religion. It's not working. Newsflash, it will not work, ultimately. You'll just beat yourself up a lot, fail a lot, and you'll change a little, but you won't change to where God wants you to be. You got to move to relationship. You know, next week we'll look at another kind of a facet of character, because I believe you have to make it top gear. You have to make it the top gear. And you do that by having a relationship with God. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, I just pray that we'd quit the religion thing. God, I know there are many here today that they've beat themselves up for years and years. Their heart, they really want to be what you want. They just keep failing. God, I pray that all of us would just make that shift. Make our relationship with you a priority. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that those times when I'm weak, that you make me strong. Those times when I just want to cut loose and give someone a piece of my mind, that your Holy Spirit just softens that. God, help us to conform to the image of your Son. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise with all we say and do. And God's people said, amen.